relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Are you trying to scare everybody, Shad, by playing John Carpenter's The Thing music?
No, I'm trying to give a goodbye salute.
Hey, shut up. That's my job. I'm just trying to tease it a little bit. You're supposed to say, no, Dr. G, it's a special day or something. See, this is what happens when you don't rehearse things. Who's that laughing in the background? Could it be Eric?
It's me, and I've got your six for the last time today.
I'm going to cry. Eric's leaving us! How dare you! And it's the theme to his favorite movie, which is?
John Carpenter's The Thing.
Good choice. Some of your taste, some of the things you like are a little bit dodgy, a little bit iffy, a little bit hinky, but that choice, The Thing, is pretty solid. And you're going to help fight the swamp, aren't you?
You could say that, yeah. Duty calls.
Duty calls. Eric's going into the administration. The only excuse that I will accept here at America First is one of our team is going into the administration. Godspeed to you, Eric. He'll be back. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting live from ReliefFactor.com studios with a new guest. We will be connecting to the White House, to presidential assistant Dr. John Fleming, on some amazing news about what your president is doing for America. But first, a man who has a rather cool name. His name is Robbie Starbuck. Welcome to America First.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka. Thanks for having me on.
Starbuck is a real name, actually. There's actually a Starbuck house on Nantucket, a very famous whaling captain. It's a real individual. He's a producer, a director. You can see his stuff on MTV. I wouldn't put this in your bio. I don't know why you put it there. He's got the YouTube Play Award. They're a bunch of fascists. I wouldn't wave that flag. But, Robbie, you have... We're going to talk about an article you wrote in the Federalist, an amazing article. But I have to say, I know you because you have a pretty good Twitter game, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
That's all he's going to say. Thank you. We've got 3 billion listeners who want to know about you.
Starbuck is a real name. It's actually it's a very long story, though. Me and all my sisters have very bizarre names.
All right, we'll talk about that in another interview. He's a Cuban-American. He's a great supporter of the president. He does a great list. You have to, for some weird reason, you have to, like, sign on and subscribe. I think he's collecting all of your data. But he has a great list of all the things the president has done, a monumental list. If you want the facts, you've got to follow this guy, Robbie Starbuck. But he's here with us today because of a piece that, I guess, you know, he wants to live dangerously. He wants to live on the edge, and he wants to write about Voldemort. He's written a long article about George Soros and about his plan to remake America. We're going to post it now on our Twitter and our Facebook pages. Describe why it's important for us to know about what George Soros is doing, Robbie.
I think it's important for a number of reasons, because to understand where we're going, we've got to understand what he's doing. He's really at the core of the Democrats' plan to remake America. So, you know, I saw that exchange. I'm sure a lot of your viewers saw Gingrich, Harris Faulkner, and Marie Harp on Fox, and Melissa Francis. And, you know, that really made the hair on my arm stand up, that, you know, a former presidential candidate and former speaker couldn't speak about George Soros for what reason. It just didn't make sense to me. So I said, you know what, I'm going to dig into the CA story.
So let's just, for those who missed it, we played the video more than once. So this former Speaker of the House, one of the most politically astute, smartest men in America, said George Soros is funding local political races, especially for prosecutors. You had one Fox host, that was Melissa Francis, say, we don't need to talk about this right now. You had Obama flunky Maria Harf say, don't bring George Soros into this discussion. And then you had Harris Faulkner kind of just stare at the TV screen as Speaker Gingrich was shut down in the interview. So you decided to look into the facts. What did you find, Robbie?
What I found was really stunning, and it's that he had not only been doing this recently, he's been doing this since 2015, and the reality is Soros realizes that all politics is local, and that was his easiest way to affect change was from the bottom up instead of the top down. So he went to these DA races that typically only have, you know, maybe five figures, low five figures in the races. So, you know, some of these
In terms of funding,
$12,000 or something to their campaign in the past. Now funding them with millions of dollars. So in some cases, like, say, Kim Fox, $2 million to her bid to be Chicago for Cook County. You got $1.4 million for Orlando, Florida. So the list goes on to tens of millions of dollars. And you'll recognize a lot of these names because people like Kim Fox, she's known as the person who let off Jesse Smollett for his hoax where he said two men beat him up and said this is MAGA country in Chicago at 2 a.m, which, by the way, should have been your first signal that right. There was something really funky with this story. Kim Gardner, another one that he funded, is now known to a large part of America because she's trying to throw the McCloskeys in prison for defending their home with their God-given right to own a gun and defend their life and property. Same thing with Larry Krasner, Chesa Boudin, that San Francisco and Philadelphia, millions of dollars behind their campaigns. And, you know, they're attacking police, threatening to arrest officers for not doing exactly what they say. They've stopped prosecuting quality of life crimes like camping or prostitution, public urination. Basically, you can do whatever you want on the streets, but if you're a law-abiding tax-paying citizen, you know, you better do exactly what they say. So they really sort of cater to degeneracy and criminal activity and try to make excuses for it while, you know, really penalizing people like you and I who want to put America first. So that seems to be the crux of the ideology behind the people that he's elevating. More scarily, his next thing that he's moving on to is he's now pledged $1 billion to endow a network of universities across our nation in a new education initiative to promote his far-left ideology. And he calls it the most important project of his life. So if the damage he's already done in these DA races isn't enough, he's coming for our children next.
Where can we get information about that new initiative? Are you writing about that, Robbie?
I am actually writing about it. It's at the end of the Federalist piece, so you get a taste of what he's doing there. But I'm currently digging into all of the schools that have pledged to accept this money and what exactly his program is going to do. Now, see, what he's doing is very similar that I've already found already, is very similar to what they do with some of the new forms of sex ed education that are really, really hardcore far left, like the CSE they have in California. What they do is they name it differently in each locale. That way, if in one locale people get upset and they get it squashed, that name only exists in that place. So it's sort of similar with what he's doing. Each school is going to have a different name for this program. Versus having it, you know, it's again sort of this idea of doing things on a micro level instead of a macro level. So he's doing it, you know, in small chunks so that if one piece gets squashed, he can preserve the rest of it.
How did a music video producer get into writing about George Soros?
Well, communists and socialists really shouldn't have stolen everything from my family in Cuba. I mean, it really, you know, not a lot of people would give up the career I had and step out and talk about politics. But, you know, I grew up with the love of freedom and appreciation of being in this country, knowing that my family had everything stolen from them. And so I worked my butt off. I had already finished my first year of college at 16. I worked my butt off for everything that I have, built my career, but then I had our own kids. Me and my wife had our own kids. And it was at that point I knew that what was slipping away from us was going to result in the same thing that happened to my family in Cuba if nobody stood up and did anything about it. So I said, well, I'm only one person. I won't make the most gigantic change, but I'm going to stand up and do something about it, and I'm going to stake my little claim here and say, this is not all right. I'm not going to accept this for my kids. I'm going to fight for freedom.
Has anything happened to you after you've written about George Soros, Robbie?
I'm going to be completely honest. Yes, we've had, you know, I've always gotten threats ever since I came out. You know, like you said, you know, I've directed a bunch of the biggest celebrities in the business. And to your point about awards, even when I was up for MTV's VMA, I didn't go to any award shows. I never have. I've never accepted any awards in person. I think that they're embarrassing events where people just want to congratulate each other when we have real problems to solve. And what's happened since I wrote this article is the threats have increased dramatically. We've had multiple graphic threats this week that include, I mean, do you want me to say what they were?
No, not. We'll discuss those offline and we'll bring you back. In the last 30 seconds we have, where can people find that amazing list of all the things the president has achieved?
You could go to growuplive.com. On growuplive.com, you sign up for the email list. You'll get the list for free, and we'll send you new updates every time there's a new update to the list. We've had over 2 million people download it at this point, and they're spreading it all over the country, printing it out, giving it to voters they can flip, and it's filled with things that people have no idea President Trump and the administration and people like you helped make happen.
Well, that's very kind.
His they need to know.
His regular video podcast with his lovely wife is Grow Up, and it's Grow Up. What is it? Live.com.
GrowUpLive.com.
Grow Up Live.
We'll have Chanel on Monday.
GrowUpLive.com, and follow him on Twitter at Robbie Starbuck. That's Robbie Starbuck. Next, we'll be going straight to the White House to Dr. John Fleming, and then Dave Rubin. Thank you, Robbie. Wherever you are, don't touch that dial. Doesn't like Charles Barkley, and why are we playing the Ghostbusters tune? Well, let's have a little cut from the man himself. Audio cut 6.
To really be careful when we, you know, I hear these fools on TV talking about defund the police and things like that. We need police reform and prison reform and things like that, because you know who ain't going to defund the cops? White neighborhoods and rich neighborhoods. So that notion they keep saying that, I'm like, wait a minute, we just going to leave, who are black people supposed to call, Ghostbusters? When we have crime in our neighborhoods, we need police reform. But like I say, white people, especially rich white people, they're always going to have cops. So we need to stop that defund or abolish the cops crap.
Speaking the truth, he's Charles Barkley. Nobody wants to defund the police unless you hate America and you're an extremist. This is just so much noise, the craziness. Let's look at what's really happening. The president is working day in and day out for you. He's signed multiple executive orders, not just on banning critical race theory, but also protecting the survivors of botched abortions, the most vulnerable in America, and also those with pre-existing conditions. Let's talk to somebody who knows a lot about it, because he's inside the building. He is assistant to the president for planning and implementation, working in the office of the chief of staff in the White House. He is Dr. John Fleming. Dr. Fleming, welcome to America First.
Dr. Gorka, good to speak to you. Yes, thank you.
Welcome. So please fill us in. Let's talk about some really amazing things that the president is doing. What is the latest that our millions of listeners need to be apprised of?
Well, one of the things, as a physician, and I'm sometimes patient myself, is the president announcing his America First health plan yesterday. I was there myself. In fact, if you see a picture of him holding up an EO that he signed, I'm standing behind him in a white coat and a mask. But anyway, his plan calls for more choice, lower cost, and better care. And he has signed, as you know, 8 bills already that improves health care for Americans, 12 executive actions. And we've got much, much more to do in order to remove the bureaucrats, the middlemen, the people who are running up the cost of health care, and taking away choice and flexibility for the American people.
Yeah, you're inside the building, and you know, I was there in the first year. Now the president's put me on his National Security Education Board, but I want somebody else to talk to this. It's really a calumny. It's a defamation about the president of the United States that he's callous, he doesn't care. Could you share your experiences about this man's compassion and the real reason why he's taking these actions, signing these bills, and also implementing these executive orders, Dr. Fleming?
Well, you know, I am around the president a lot. I observe him, and as a physician, I'm a very observant person. The man cares a lot for the American people. You know, he recognizes that he's been very, very successful through his life. Many gifts have been given to him in the way of blessings, his capacity to earn money and to do great things. And I think that he reached a point in his life where he says, look, I want to give back to this nation that gave so much to me. And so he is applying all of his skills, his knowledge, his abilities and capabilities by passing laws and actions and so forth to help the American people. So I see that it's through his own sort of vision, through his own glasses, I guess, so to speak. In other words, we have different ways of showing compassion for other people. And the president is a man of action. And so that's how he shows a love for his nation and for the American people, is through action. And Lord knows he has taken a lot of it, and it has made America a much greater country.
Yeah, when it comes to action, I'll never forget the first marker the president gave us at the beginning of the administration, right in the beginning in January 2017, and he said that we just have too much red tape in this city. We are drowning in bureaucracy. I am not going to sign an executive action unless two are first rescinded. So to try and push back on all that over-bureaucratization. And we thought, that's amazing, Mr. President. Before the first year was out, we were about month eight, that figure wasn't 2-1. That figure had ballooned to 22-1. We had rescinded 22 White House prior actions to every new one that he signed. That's who he is. He's a man of action, but he's also a man that wants to liberate America. Dr. Fleming, God willing, everybody does their part, and the president is re-elected in 38 days, 39 days' time. What can you talk to us about anything on the agenda just over the horizon in terms of health policy that we should expect at the beginning of a second Trump administration? What are the big things that still need to be fixed in a sector that truly is yet to be fully transparent?
Yes. Well, one thing that's high on the agenda right now is ending surprise medical billing. A lot of Americans have been shocked and surprised that they have a procedure or something and they get a bill from a doctor who's not in their network, an outrageous amount of money sometimes. And that's not that doctors are necessarily trying to rip off people. It's just that we have such a non-transparent healthcare system that American consumers don't have the ability to shop for care, to compare prices, to shop quality. They just simply don't have those opportunities. And the president wants to move that forward. And he did sign an EO yesterday that says that when it comes to surprise billing, if Congress has not put something into law ready for him to sign by the end of this year, he will take executive actions to do that. So that's just one of many things. But as you may recall, in terms of rolling back regulations, he opened up telehealth so Americans can now communicate with their doctors through their device, their phone, or their computer. The president signed into law certain rollbacks on Obamacare, including allowing patients to have more flexible choices in their health insurance, repealing the individual mandate, eliminating medical device taxes. He signed four EOs just recently, and we won't see the real effects until the beginning of next year on lowering drug prices that are going to be huge. Americans will be able to get the lowest drug prices around the world rather than the highest drug prices that we have today. So that's just to name a few.
Well, that's an incredible list. But, of course, that's what we expect from the Trump administration and Donald Trump, the president. He's Dr. John Fleming, assistant to the president, planning and implementation in the office of the chief of staff. Please keep doing what you do, supporting the president, who's there for one reason and one reason alone, because he loves this country and he wants all of us to be safe, healthy, and to prosper. Thank you, Dr. Fleming. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Big guest next. Big guest, Dave Rubin, that phenomena of the internet. He's a YouTuber, isn't he? He used to be a liberal, but he's come over to the right side. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First from the ReliefFactor.com studios on the Salem Radio Network. Back in a moment. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
How does Professor Shad do it? I don't even know how he remembers these things. When it is appropriate to use the Star Wars theme and when it isn't. Nicely done there. Of course it's appropriate, because we are connecting right now to an individual somewhere in the swamp regions of the Dagobah system. It is none other than the author of the wonderfully entitled Don't Burn This Book, the one and only Dave Rubin. Welcome back to America First, Dave.
Gorka, you know what? I'm going to give you a good Star Wars reference right up top. I am, as you know, in Los Angeles in California. It's very fiery here these days, very smoky. So I'm closer to being in Mustafar than I am in Dagobah.
Just watch out for the lava. As you're jumping around those rocks, just watch out for the flowing lava, my friend. I don't know how I can justify this. How on earth can you come on my show, the international phenomenon that you are, with the best hair on YouTube and say you're not going to do Skype? I'm just going to go right. I don't care if I'm going to get in trouble with you. You're going to cut me off, block my number. How can you do that to my 3 million listeners? Forget YouTube. How can you do that to people on radio who want to hear your hair?
My hair's sort of become a meme in and of itself. There's a lot of spray in there.
Product,
which can be pretty dangerous. It's a lot of product, and you know the people here, the lefties, they're not happy when you use sprays. But I'm fighting the power any way I can. You know
that you've got to resist. You've got to resist those hair product Nazis. Follow this man right now. Check out the Rubin Report. Get his book, Don't Burn This Book. And also, he has a whole platform called Locals that you need to check out as well to push back on the fascists in the social media universe. Dave, let's cut to the chase immediately. There's an individual who, many moons ago, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, was a Republican. He was actually a member of Congress. Now, from his basement, along with his female accomplice, he has a morning show that I don't know if anybody watches, but he made a kind of veiled threat to people like you or me. So let's listen to Joe Scarborough from The Morning Joe. We got in trouble for some naughty words yesterday. Joe uses one that I think will get through the censors, but it's him saying it, not me. Play Audio Cut 7.
It's kind of crazy if you think about it. The really stupid jackassery that's going on out there by people who are trying to stay close to the president of the United States, but what they don't realize is that what they write on editorial pages, what they tweet on their tweet machines, what they say on their internet, like sites and I don't know, whatever you call those things, podcasts. Those are forever. Yeah. Like, those are forever.
I think you, Dave, have a Twitter machine and one of those, what do you call them, podcasts? Is that a veiled threat? Is Joe Scarborough saying, ooh, we're going to come after you, Dave? Dave, are you intimidated?
Well, I assure you I am not intimidated by Joe Scarborough. I mean, MSNBC couldn't pay me enough to take a show there, not that they would ever offer me a show. But, you know, that's just, first off, you know, it's kind of funny. You're saying the internet, or I say the...
We lost you there. It's the smoke. What is going? Are the fires in California interfering with his cell phone? Dave, can you hear us?
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Start again. Start that sentence again.
Well, you know, look, there's no amount of money that MSNBC could offer me that would give me a reason to do a show with MSNBC. And I think when you hear a guy like Scarborough talk like that, I mean, first off, he sounds sort of drunk, or it's hard to tell if he's being sarcastic or not. But putting that aside, I mean, what this really gets to the heart of is the disconnect between mainstream media and then guys like us, people that are out there in the digital world that are connecting with their audiences in a new way, that are saying something that is true, or certainly at least much closer to the truth than what the corporate media has given you. So all they've got basically is to belittle people like that because they think from their ivory tower that they're better than us. But I think they've got a real surprise coming in about 6 weeks.
Yes, indeed. But we will save your analysis of what happens in 38 days' time to our second segment. He's Dave Rubin. Follow him right now at Rubin Report. The book is geniusly entitled Don't Burn This Book, and check out his new social media platform, Locals. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the president, member of his National Security Education Board. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Did you hear our interview with the great Mike Lindell yesterday? I read him a text that I received from one of our listeners, and if you missed it, I just got to share it with you because it's the best text I have received about Mike Lindell. Dude, I thought it was just advertising, and I'm sorry I made that assumption. I just received my MyPillow in the mail. After breaking my back in 8 places in Afghanistan, I have hell with sleep. This thing has changed my life for the better. Thank you, and Mike Lindell. You just don't need copy. You don't need commercials. You just need texts like that. God bless you, my friend, for serving this nation, fighting the good fight. And thank you for that endorsement. It really is that good. The president uses them. I use them. 51 million sold. Check them out and get up to 50% off if you drop my name. Go to Mike Lindell's site, MyPillow.com. All his incredible products, or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with Dave Rubin. If you don't follow this man, if you don't watch his videos, well, shame on you, because you will not be learning. You will not be seeing incredible interviews. And also, I love this new format of yours, Dave. Why are you doing the DM or the direct message? Because we've got used to you sitting in your lovely studio with your guests, the nice long-form interviews. You barely have any notes. It's just really natural, authentic. And now you're looking us in the eye. You're staring at the camera. And I don't even see you. I don't even see any reflections of an auto cue like Biden uses.
Listen, I am a much more highly trained professional.
But he's been doing it for 47 years. How old are you, Dave? Are you like Baby Yoda?
I'm 44, so Biden's been in the government longer than I've been alive. Good God, that's scary.
Ouch.
Well, you know, I started doing my new show, The Direct Message, at the beginning of September. I'm doing a 3-day-a-week, about a half-hour news show, and I just pick, you know, usually 3 stories, anywhere from 2 to 4 stories, but usually 3 stories. And I do it with no notes, right? I stare into the camera. I share my thoughts. You know, I scribble down a few things, right, for, you know, in case I have like a specific number that I have to mention, or right, something happened in a certain chronological order, that kind of thing. But what I'm trying to do, I think it's what you do also. You know, it's like there's a way to give people information that that even though a lot of the media these days consume kind of blessing and upsetting weapons. So
we're losing you again. We're losing you again. There's information that what? Say that again.
Even though the news can sort of feel depressing and make everybody angry all the time, I think there's a way, and you kind of do it with cultural references and Star Wars references and all that kind of stuff, there's a way to give people information where, you know, you can learn something and then also not feel terrible. And that's really what I'm trying to do, and it seems to be working so far. People are digging it. Check it out.
It's about 30 minutes long. It's really information-packed. It's his direct message. We're so glad to have you back after your annual... He hides somewhere for a month. He switches off his phone. He asks us to put funny, jaunty messages about where is Dave Rubin. I don't know how he switches off from social media, but he's back and we're glad. The book that he has authored that you must read is Don't Burn This Book. Follow him on Twitter at Rubin Report. Now, in the 5 minutes we've got with you, Dave, you are a paragon of what Churchill taught us, what was it, 70 years ago? He who is not of the left when young has no heart. He who is not a conservative when older has no brain. You made that transition. You worked at the Young Turks, you crazy man. And now you are an individual who says he's going to vote for Donald Trump. So talk to us as a person who's made that heroic journey, that Campbell-esque journey. What are your expectations? What are the trends you're witnessing in the last few months in America, especially since the George Floyd killing? And what is your expectation for the next 38 days?
Yeah, well, you know, first, real quick on that Churchill quote, you know, it really does make sense if you think about it, meaning if you're not liberal when you're young, meaning you don't really know how the world works, but you sort of feel that you should be helping people and you don't have to really think about all the ways.
And utopia is cool and we can do utopias. Right.
So you can sort of feel that when you're young. And then the reason you get older and you generally people become more conservative is you start getting a real world approach to things. You understand that there are generations before you that have fought for hopefully good ideas to succeed and bad ideas to fail and everything else. You know, look, I was on the Young Turks. You can find videos. I'm not that proud of them from 5 years ago where I was a Bernie supporter. And basically what happened was I started noticing, you know, that there was something really wrong with the left. You know, the thing that everyone sees now, the rioting, the violence, the calls to burn it down, the fact they want to change the Electoral College, they want to change the way we vote. I mean, in effect, get, you know, add Supreme Court justices, basically destroy everything that we've built. I started talking about that from a lefty perspective and saying, hey, guys, let's clean up our side here. And what happened is now what is happening to so many other people. I was completely purged, you know, called the worst things, tried to be canceled and the whole thing. And then what I realized was, holy cow, you know, on the right, I have a couple of differences with conservatives. Seb, you know, and I know we don't agree on everything, but it's like, people on the right are willing to agree to disagree. And
we don't want to cancel you.
You don't want to cancel me. And I don't want to cancel you. And actually, I cherish the fact that I live in a country that has people that I disagree with politically. I mean, imagine if we didn't, but the left is becoming a monolith.
Right.
And I view, you know, I heard you once at we were at an event, I think it was a Turning Point event a couple of years ago, and you gave a great analogy as to what Trump is. That I think you called him the icebreaker. That there was this giant glacier and Trump came in and broke it. And I think that's the right analogy. The other way I've sometimes talked about it is that, you know, that there was a chessboard and nothing was working right. We were at a stalemate in the world and Trump just flipped the chessboard upside down. So whatever your analogy is, the point is that this is not a racist man. This is not a homophobic man or a bigot. This is somebody who loves America. He's fighting the Democrats, which is hard enough, but he's also fighting the media, which is nearly impossible. And pretty much every other Republican would have laid down. And I think he's mapping something that is good for people to know that you can stand up for yourself. And that's why I'm supporting him, on top of the fact that the Democrats have just lost their mind. And Biden probably has dementia, and it's like, this is the candidate that they've put out there.
All right. We're out of time on this segment. I'm going to exploit you mercilessly. I want to close the show with you. Can you stay with us for 3.5 more minutes?
I'll give you 3.5 more minutes, Gorka.
Okay. Weeks. Did you hear that? Dave Rubin is giving me 3.5 more minutes. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Across the nation, hundreds of stations, millions of listeners. We just broke, 14 million views on YouTube. Subscribe today. You won't regret it and you won't miss a thing. We are coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, if you are in pain, if nothing else has worked, please stop and try this 100% drug-free product that is helping tens of thousands of Americans right now, me included. Its ingredients attack the source of the pain, your inflammation. Find out if it could work for you. It's so easy. Go to relieffactor.com, see the amazing testimonials, and then order your three-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening, just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans. As the president says at his rallies, what have you got to lose? Don't you deserve to find out if you could be the next success story? Of course you do. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. You can call them 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Do or do not. There is no try.
That is one of our official mottos here at America First. Thank you, Shad. We are back with Dave Rubin. He is the author of Don't Burn This Book. He has his own social media platform you've got to check out called Locals, and you should follow him on the Twitter machine, as Joe Scarborough calls it, at Rubin Report. He has very graciously decided to stay with us for the end of the show because I have to ask him a question. In 38 days' time, what do you expect? And especially, what do you expect if Donald Trump wins the election?
Yeah, well, let's say 38 days. If you think it's bananas today, I got a banana farm to sell you because it's going to get crazier. I mean, you know, whatever happens, not only with the Supreme Court situation, but mail-in voting and the riots and everything else. So we know things are going to get crazier. The temperature is just going to raise on everything. As far as the election, look, I think Trump is going to win. I think there is such an undercurrent of support that does not show up in polls, just like it didn't show up last time. I think the disgust with what the modern left has become.
Right.
I think the average person who's sort of apolitical, if their choice is, okay, people that are burning down cities or Trump, who maybe I don't like how he tweets, but he seems to at least love America and have some semblance of caring about the history of this place. Well, I think they're going to break to Trump. So I sense Trump is going to win big. But I think the bigger issue is that the Democrats didn't accept the results of the last election,
yes,
nor did the media. And they're going to really double down on it this time. And I think we're going to have lots of state recounts. And I think we've got a couple of years of chaos before we get to something more orderly. But I hope Trump wins, because if he doesn't, you know, the left will be really empowered. And if you think they're crazy now, just wait till they have the power back in their hands, and it'll be much worse.
So you may be surprised at what I'm about to say, and we've literally got 60 seconds left. My listeners might be surprised. I see you as a brave guy. Your journey takes chutzpah, it takes a spine. What is your message to those out there who really feel intimidated and aren't prepared to live and speak their values, Dave?
It's very simple. You must speak up. It's not a question. You have to do it, because if you think it's tough now, then imagine how much tougher it'll be next year, the year after, the year after. Things don't magically get better. The universe doesn't magically set order to itself. You're the one that can do it. And if you don't do it, then your neighbor won't do it. And if your neighbor won't do it, well, then nobody will do it. So it's about you. It's about the individual. And if you start setting, it's Jordan Peterson, clean your room and then clean the world.
Yeah, clean your room and clean the world. If you don't do it now, you won't be allowed to do it later. He's David Rubin. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Let's end this Friday like we always do with the words of my boss, Donald Trump.
And to those who would try to impose socialism on the United States, we again deliver a very simple message. America will never be a socialist country.